Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, Monumental Sports Network, and on the Team 980. We welcome in those great listeners who just heard the Kevin Sheehan show. You get us for an hour.
We all fam.
In the club, we all fam.
We are all fam in the club.
We are efforting Fred Smoot. We will let you know when we get him up here. I do, though, Linnell, have some pro football focus
grades. Grades?
Some PFF in the building. I use PFF the way that I think PFF was designed to be used, which is if it matches my argument, it is the gospel.
Right.
If it doesn't, it's the dumbest thing that's ever been created and nobody should use it. I do have some grades that I want to point out here. Here's the big one. Brandon Coleman, 89. Only 14 snaps, but 89.9 for Brandon Coleman. Sam Cosmi in 66 snaps. 83.3, the highest of anyone that played more than 15 snaps. Laremy Tunsil in 67 snaps, 78.4. You ready for this one? Josh Connerly, 74.3. In 67 snaps.
Love
those
to hear.
Are your three highest graded commanders for the matchup against the Miami Dolphins, who had a pretty good pass rush.
Yeah.
So I think that is very good for the Commanders. We will now go to the phones. Welcome in our guy, Fred Smoot, joining B. Mitch and Finley with Denton Dale and Willingham sitting in. Smoot, I know the result wasn't great, but how is the trip to Spain?
What's up, country cousin?
Hey, what's up, brothers? How y'all doing? By the way, I did not make the trip to Spain because I had to go to Barstool. I go to Barstool Sports once a week, so I had to stay back and handle business. But I talked to London, talked to Santana, of course, Logan, and they loved it, man. And they said the fans really enjoyed that trip. It was the first time that American football was played in Spain, and their crowd was electric, and their stadium was awesome. So I think the experience was awesome, not like the game, but I felt like on defense, I felt like they came to play. And that's one thing I always said. I like when defensive coordinators become head coaches but never stop calling the defense.
Yeah.
They're prone to go into CEO mode, where the offensive coordinators are never prone to go in that mode. They're going to stay on one side of the ball and make sure. There's nothing like having your boss in your room every day. Even if your boss walked in the office right now, y'all are straight up in production are flying through the roof.
You know what I'm saying? Look, by the way, a total, if any Commanders fan out there that bought their way to Spain and were expecting to see you and didn't get to, I'm sad for them. You would have made a damn trip, Fred. I would have loved to see you on video. They got video of Logan, Fletch, Santana dancing on the stage. I said Logan dancing on the stage, by the way, too, brother. So that's definitely something
definitely.
To see.
Fred Smoot on foreign soil, that's a fun time.
that's a fun time.
Fred Smoot on foreign soil, no bull. So, Fred, this is what we wanted to ask you about, and I'm glad you just brought it up. From your trained professional eye, what did you notice in Dan Quinn's play calling, like the difference that we saw yesterday?
I saw simplicity makes you play fast. You play football in there, you know. If you say, you know what, do you remember those cover two teams from Tampa? Tampa, they let you know we're going to play one coverage the whole entire game. You just got to beat us. All right? And if you can't beat us playing this one coverage, it ain't nothing you can do. It allows you to play fast without thinking. Everything becomes second nature. And I think Coach did a good job of understanding what offense he was playing. So to me, he went in bend but don't break mode. We know we're going to play a lot of zone, and they're going to probably gash us on some runs. But in the red zone, we're going to tighten up. And I felt like they achieved it, and I felt like they accomplished that. So I thought they got better by simplicity.
What have you made out of Mikey Sanders still this year, Smoot, and how can they work to install confidence back into him?
Well, I guess as a DB, I'm not frowning upon his game as much as I think outside people are. He's asked to do a lot, and he's asked to play a couple of different positions. And, yes, sometimes he give up a touchdown or a catch, and that's part of a DB's life. And let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you what makes me married to the game if I'm a defensive back. My D-line, they married me to the game. Yeah. If I have no pass rush, now I have to stop your first route, then I have to stop your second route, and sometimes your third route. That's hard to do with pro wide receivers. So what I say sometimes is, judge some of these DBs on the curve when I'm missing my first screen, wise. I'm missing 3, 4, 5 defensive linemen.
Yeah, Jonathan Jones was somebody, Fred, that you know has got more playing time here over the past couple of weeks. When we first brought him in, I didn't know what to expect, but then watching him in camp and then in his limited action, he could fly still. What do you like make of the decision they're going to have to make down the stretch between him and Mikey in terms of who's going to play in the slot, who's going to play on the outside? Is that something that's matchup dependent, or are you down to see them both there? I think we definitely just lost Fred. That's why we lost him. That's why he stopped talking abruptly.
We'll throw him on hold. We'll see if we can get Smoot back. I thought it was a great question.
So good he had to go stop and think about it. I'm glad you asked him about Mikey Sanders still. And
all right, we got him back. We got him back. All right, Smoot. Sorry, we lost you there for a brief second there. Sorry, Leno. Continue your question.
What I was asking, Smoot, was Jonathan Jones and the way that he's played since he's been inserted into the lineup. For a guy of, he's like 30, pushing 31, he still, to me, looks like the fastest corner that we have. Your thoughts on him and how he looked yesterday in extended action?
Well, you're getting a guy with playoff experience, Super Bowl experience, a guy that been there, done that. Nothing that you can show him on the football field. You can't show him nothing new. He plays with poise. He understands the situational football, and I think that's what makes him great. But we're running out of defensive backs. We got to play.
About to say.
We got to play every guy we got going. Every Jimmy and Joe that's dressing, he got to add to the game. And it's always a silver lining in situations like this when you get a lot of guys hurt. Some guys are going to get 3 to 4 times more playing time. They get to mature. Your depth get to get deeper. So it's as much as we hate to see the product on the field right now, it's some silver lining. And some guys are going to get better, all right, which they weren't going to get any playing time because they was on the third screen. So when I see Jonathan Jones out there playing, he gives me a confidence that we can play the small things. We can do the small things right.
Fred Smoot with us here on B. Mitch and Finley with Denton Day and Linnell Willingham sitting in for the fellas as they travel back from Spain. What about the offense, Smoot? How did you think Mariota played?
Mariota is proven to people what I said a long time ago. He could be one of the best, if not the best, backup in football. Nothing changes when he gets in the game. I think we can all agree these last 3 to 4 games, he's played well enough for us to win some of these games. He's had composure. Besides that last interception he threw, I thought almost his game was flawless. I thought he did everything in his power to move the ball. I thought the run game really showed up. Chris Rodriguez and the rest of those guys, I thought they established themselves running the ball. And with him leaning forward and getting those extra 2 to 3 yards, C-Rod is running like a guy that thinking in his head, my days are numbered. I'm running this rock and nobody's going to stop me. And I thought that helped Marcus Mariota out. But I thought for the wide receivers that he was playing with, that he really played a great game.
So probably my favorite thing from yesterday was the reaction from the sideline when Jacoby Jones catches the 25-yard catch to take them into Dolphins territory. Just anyone out there wondering, you know, the mentality of this locker room during this 5 or 6 game losing streak, I think their reaction to his play kind of shows you that, you know, despite the results not going their way, they're still a super tight-knit group.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Players getting the opportunity that they wasn't going to get. And for him to go out there and make that play at that time, and for Cliff Kingsbury to have the confidence and to make sure that in that situation right there, where we got to have it moment, we're going to go to you. And for him to make that play, like you said, the guys erupted on the sideline because they see the work that this guy puts in. They see this guy trying to get on the field. And when you finally get that chance to get on the field, you know, confidence goes a long way in football. And sometimes you just need to see one go over the gate, all right, to get the yips off of you. And I think that was a good play call, and great execution.
Smoot, should they bring Jaden back for the Denver game?
If Jaden is healthy, play him. If he can protect himself, play him. I'm one of those people that if you paid to play football, let's go play football. I don't want to hear how the season going to end. The season going to end regardless, but I want to see him get better and better and better. You can only get better by actually playing football. You can't get better looking at football and thinking that ain't the process. The process is to get him out there, and he becomes the ultimate force multiplier. Watch when he do eventually get back on the field, how all the point spreads in Vegas shrink. Because they understand he don't need much to work with to go change a game. So soon as he is able to get out there, comfortable to play, and I want him fully healthy. He already had the knee. He had the hamstring. He had the elbow. I want all three to be healthy before I put him out there. I'm not just thinking singular with the elbow. I'm thinking all three. I want him fully functional, fully body, mind, and soul.
Fred, I know you like to look at the boys on the perimeter. I like to look at the big dudes on the interior, and one of the big bright spots yesterday and really all season, Eddie Goldman, man, after retiring twice and really contemplating how much he wanted to do this and whether or not he wanted it to be his occupation anymore, for him to play as well as he's played throughout the course of this season has been super impressive. Your thoughts on him?
Well, Eddie Goldman, he's part of what I call that D.C. Great Wall, him and Kinlaw. You know, these guys are local guys, man. And Kinlaw and Goldman played on the other side of the line of scrimmage all game. Both of those goal line stands were pure responsible of those two guys dominating in the inside of the play. And when I say dominating, I mean it ain't going to show up on no stat book, right? It ain't going to show up on the paper. But if you watch that film, you know that Kinlaw is a grown damn man. Now, listen to me. Tossing guys out the club before they can even get to their section that they paid all that money for. These guys changed the line of scrimmage and gave us a chance. The only reason we had a chance in that game, I told you, we went into a bend but don't break mode.
Right.
They got to the breaking point, and they did not break. They did not succumb to the zone running game, the bolted zone running game of the Dolphins. And I think that's what gave us a chance to the end, to go into overtime. Every time we go overseas, we guaranteed to go into overtime. That gave us a chance to.
Smoot, it felt like when Johnny Newton was drafted, there was a whole lot of hype about him, and they kind of build him up as, hey, we got a first-round guy in the second round. Have you seen enough from him to be really confident about his position?
We want more. Like, it's a lot of guys, and he's one of those guys that we want more. We want more of him in the rotation. I want more production. And then I think the thing with him, if you notice, they really put him in most of the time in passing situations. They understand his pass works prowess. He has to really get the run game going, because you can't be a three-down defensive lineman if run is what you're having problems with.
Yeah,
and
man,
getting pushed off the point. And I think that's what they're worried about. And he can get better at that. Just because I always tell people, different flowers blossom at different times. Just because a guy not ready in year one, year two, he's like, you can get better. All right, people, the finished product is what we're trying to get. That's how you build a great pro team, is guys developing at different times, at different paces.
I totally agree with you. And the young guy that stood out for me, we were having this conversation earlier in the show. Fred, I love the coaching staff. To me, it's a total indictment on that group that Jordan McGee has not been on the field sooner. Anybody that watches this thing with a trained eye, he's the best linebacker we have in terms of flying to the football, in terms of, you know, playing with that, you know, hair on fire mentality. What have you seen out of him, and why do you think we haven't seen him more?
I think Jordan McGee, if I had to say, I can't say he's the best on this team when it comes to the linebacker. I can say he's the most athletic and has the most athletic prowess. He is a sideline to sideline guy. He get there with bad intentions, and that's what I do like. But when you look at that group, now, yes, they're Bobby Wagner, old Yellow Jacket. They've been getting them in.
What'd you call him, Smoot?
old Yellow Jacket.
Man. You're good for one.
No, listen. He made in coverage on that goal line stand was an unbelievable play. He still has football in him. He still can play, still one of the top tacklers. Every player has their strengths. Every player has his weakness. Frankie Louvu has been forced to play more rush in than most of the stand-up linebackers, so they didn't gave Jordan McGee time to get on the field, and he's one of those guys that he's starting to really catch his groove because they're putting him in there. He's part of what the future looks like, and I like it because he's a very intelligent guy. People don't give him a lot of pause for that because once you see the man, the myth, the body of this dude, you're like, this dude is an animal. Like, he's huge, but he can play, and you're right. He will be hitting the field more when they figure out ways to get him on the field, especially when we play against running teams.
Smoot, what is the mentality in the locker room like when you're sitting here, you're kind of as down as they are 3-8 moving forward? You get a bye week, which obviously is nice, you know, get out, go on vacation maybe, but it does feel like they're in evaluation mode for 2026. How is that handled inside the facility?
It's kind of like a bunker down type of mentality, us against the world, nobody believes in us type of mentality. Like, this is when your intestinal fortitude is tested. This is when, who are you as a person, who are you as a player when the end of the rainbow don't got a pot of gold, but we still got to make this voyage and we got to do it together. You can earn a lot of respect playing down the road and finishing this season the way it should be finished. And once guys understand this too, the eye in the sky don't lie. Like, you're putting in your name for next year. If you want to be on this team next year, you need to go out there and make plays. So nobody in this locker room is going to give up. And because it's a lot of backup guys playing, some of these guys is putting film out there for other people, too, to say, I can play this game. I can play on this level. I can consistently get great. If we get soldiers back and Terry comes back and Jaden comes back, this team will put on better performances. But right now, I always tell people, you can't beat a team with the first string, and we're playing our third string. It just ain't going to work.
Smoot, we appreciate it as always, my friend. Enjoy
all right, cut
the
your
bye
cousin.
Week. We'll talk again.
Anytime, Linnell.
That is Fred Smoot, former DB for the Commanders. We're going to go out to Nats Park in about 10 minutes. They're going to introduce their new manager. Looking forward to that. But I know you wanted to talk about Shedeur Sanders before we got to that. Yeah, this has been passionate. We had a lot of bullpen conversations. I thought what we saw was pretty much par from the course. I didn't put too much of a referendum on it. He hasn't got starter reps. He's not supposed to get starter reps. He's a backup. People, I mean, this feels like rage bait on the internet, though, with people taking one side or the other, and I don't enjoy that.
I'm not picking a side, per se. I just, there's one very well-respected seasoned reporter who is simping for him so bad. Josina Anderson, auntie, look, you know, third and 10, what did she say? Backs against the wall, against all odds throw. Jerry Jeudy broke like three tackles. Shedeur did nothing on the play. I'm excited, though, that he is about to get this opportunity because I think anybody that's played team sports, when you see a guy that's putting in the work behind the scenes, you can just tell there's a respect factor in that locker room for him. Just hearing folks talk post-game and then the energy that he brought to the stadium yesterday was like, oh, snap, we're finally getting to see our guys. Teammates are playing hard for him. He was 4 of 16, though.
It was not a good day.
He was 4 for 16, Denton. It was not a good day. Can we calm down? I'm not – look, like you said, it's not an indictment on who he is. I expect him to look like this. One, Cleveland's got the worst skill group.
Terrible.
Maybe on the East Coast.
Maybe.
I would even take some of the Nittany Lions and Ohio State. I mean,
they're really bad.
But so I don't expect him to have success early in a situation like that. But this week, if Dylan Gabriel is unable to clear the protocol, Stefanski said he would get the start.
Yeah.
I would expect him to look a lot better. I think the way Stefanski called the game, or the way Tommy Reese rather called the game, was not particularly good. The first play, they booted him out. That's what you need to see from him.
Yeah, get him out, get him moving.
Use the athleticism.
That's one of the areas he was really good at in college is throwing on the move with accuracy. I couldn't get over it. But just seeing Anderson
bro,
tweets.
And she's getting cooked online, as
she should.
Auntie, I love you now, but that,
and he threw a pick, and the tweet was a Shedeur Sanders who had no reps threw an interception. I was like, thank you. You could just say he threw a pick.
Yeah.
Again, like, it's not a massive referendum on who he is as a player.
But that's how you keep getting that inside scoop now.
But the
I guarantee if Shedeur gets named the starter, Josina's going to be the one to report it.
I guarantee it. I guarantee it.
You got to do what you got to do.
I mean, she'll be reporting what socks he's wearing.
Yeah, I'm about to say,
she'll,
bro.
She'll be reporting what his pregame meal was, too. She's clearly in the there's an association going on there with the Sanders family. Just
she doesn't have to do this, either. She's a really good reporter. I don't know why she's...
There has to be.
It's not a good look.
It's not a good look. Because now you got me thinking, like, is there some payments going on?
Did you see the one tweet? She was like, the Jerry Jeudy joint took me out, man. Tell me something. Shedeur Sanders with it.
Against the wall. Like, Lord, ma'am, it's his first start.
He threw a four-yard drag.
That
he broke. Yeah, breaks two tackles.
Shimmied and did all these things. He'd made a couple of good throws.
Yes, he did.
There was a dig route. There was a one in the end zone that should have been caught. Yes. Ravens DB made a really good play on it. So. Yeah, there was some good. There was a lot more bad. And then there was all the Jacina Anderson tweets. I couldn't get over that.
Whatever the Browns are doing, though, like even if Dylan Gabriel was in there, like the pressure plan's not good.
No, it's not good. It's and not. Again, they're just not a very good football team. When we get back, we'll send you out to Nats Park. It is the introductory press conference for their new manager, Blake Batera. That comes your way next on B. Mitch and Finley. Is B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan.
Did you see Vic? Vic just hit a little. And they call that they call that the tighten up.
The tighten up?
Uh-huh. That's James Brown.
Vic, you got some moves back there?
Come on, man.
He said, I'm on TV. I can't.
Slicker than a can of oil is Vic Ferrer. That's why they call him Slick Vic Ferrer. He's slicker than a can of oil.
We will go out to Nationals Park. I don't know if there's any slick around Nationals.
The Curly
Park.
W's.
The Curly Dubs.
Uh-huh.
Blake Butera going to be introduced in a matter of moments. We're going to check the Nationals' timeliness.
Yeah.
What we're going to do.
Well, they're on time. And if they're not, I get it. They're a bunch of young guys over there. I'm late sometimes too, people. I know we're going to get into Blake Butera when we let the folks hear, but you're – Are we ready now?
I'm getting the signal.
Well, damn. I was just about to start talking some Nats.
We are going to go to Nats Park. Blake Butera is set to speak in moments. We will let you hear it.
That they hired and that he signed the contract. So priorities here.
What came first?
Time to get ready.
What came first? The baby or the signing, the hiring? We got to find that out. That's a big thing today.
I was close. I heard it was very close between the two.
For Nationals fans, for baseball fans all around, Blake Butera, 33 years old. Such a huge, huge day for the entire organization. As we said it to Dan Coco.
Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you for joining us here today. I'm Nationals broadcaster Dan Coco. And I'm honored to be here on yet another exciting day for this Nationals franchise. We've had a couple of these lately. I'd like to welcome everyone who's with us here at Nationals Park, as well as those watching on Nationals.com, Masson, and MLB Network. Earlier this month, Blake Butera was officially named the 8th manager in Washington Nationals history. The day before the announcement, Blake and his wife Caroline welcomed their first child, Blair. They say the birth of your child marks the best day of your life. Imagine finding out you're getting a big league managerial job that very same week. That'll do, huh? Needless to say, there's been a lot going on lately for the Butera family, and we're so glad to have all three of them here in Washington today for Blake's formal introduction. Joining Blake, Caroline, and Blair, I'd also like to extend a special welcome to several other members of Blake and Caroline's families. We're so happy to have you all here as part of the Nationals family. Congratulations. We're also joined today by several members of the Lerner, Cohen, and Tannenbaum families, as well as several Washington Nationals founding partners. And joining Blake at the dais is Nationals President of Baseball Operations, Paul Taboni. So, Paul, it's my pleasure to turn it over to you.
Thanks, Dan. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you all for being here. When we set out to find our manager, our goal was to find not only a great, ambitious baseball mind, but an even better person. We wanted someone whose character and values aligned with ours and whose experiences fit our organizational goals. As you've heard me say many times over the course of the last 6 weeks, I'm a strong believer that you win with people, and Blake's character and ability to connect with everyone across the baseball spectrum is second to none. I'm excited to welcome him, his wife Caroline, their baby Blair, and the rest of their family to Washington, D.C., and I look forward to executing our vision together. With that, I'd like to officially introduce you to the next manager of the Washington Nationals, Blake Butera.
Thank you.
Football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You're listening to Blake Butera's introductory press conference live from National Spark right here on Beamish and Finley on 106.7 The Fan. You hear him right now. You can't see him. They're snapping away, taking pictures of Butera and his nice new Nationals here. So here is the manager, the new manager of the Washington Nationals.
Thank you, gentlemen. And Blake, now I'd like to turn it over to you.
Thank you. Paul, thanks for the great words. I'm incredibly honored, humbled, excited to be the next manager of the Washington Nationals. It was clear during this process that this organization, this city, are really special. This was somewhere my family and I immediately felt like we could make home. I want to thank the Lerner, Cohen, and Tannenbaum families as well. As well as Paul Taboni and the rest of the baseball ops group. From my very first conversations, it was evident that their values align with mine, that this is a place built around people, trust, and doing things the right way. I really enjoyed the process over the last few weeks of getting to know everybody in this entire organization. I know I wouldn't be sitting here today without the support of a lot of people. First and foremost, my wife Caroline and our baby Blair. Caroline knows how demanding this game can be and how much time we've spent away from each other during it, and I can't thank her enough, and I couldn't do this without her, so thank you. To my parents and siblings, my mom driving all of us around to all the games at different towns, and my dad coaching at least one of us at all times. Don't know how they did it, but just want to say thank you. To my siblings, you know, from the countless backyard games we played, wiffle ball and basketball and football that somehow never felt fair, thanks for continuing to challenge me, but also supporting me along the way. The fact that you're all here today on a Monday, a work day, with several kids leaving work and kids behind to be here is just another example of how supportive you've been every step along the way. So thank you. To my wife's family, who made the long drive up and back to make sure Blair could be here today for the special day. Thank you, it means the world. I also want to take a moment to thank Eric Neander and the entire Tampa Bay Rays organization. I was there for 11 years and couldn't say thank you enough to them for what they've done for me and my growth and also our family. It's a special place. You'll hear me say the word culture a lot, and I don't want to use it lightly. The culture there is real. It's special. It's what makes that place great. And my family and I knew that if we were going to leave, it would have to be for somewhere that was special as well. And getting to know Paul, the ownership group here, as well as the rest of our baseball operations group, this place is on the way to building something special, and I felt that from day one. As we move forward, our identity is going to start with character. I believe true leadership is built on real relationships. Relationships that create unity, clarity, and a shared purpose. And all that begins with accountability. For myself, for our staff, for every player that wears this Nationals jersey, we're going to hold each other to a standard every single day. We're going to be committed to our process and a daily standard of performance. That means focusing on improvement and excellence one day at a time, trusting that consistency is going to help us build something sustainable, not just for 1 year, but for several years ahead. We're going to be committed to our process. On the field, you can expect a team that plays with intent. We're going to be fundamentally strong. We're going to do things the right way. We're going to play the game the right way and handle all the small details. We want our fans to feel connected to the way we play and to take pride in the identity that we show every night. DC is an incredible sports city. It's passionate, it's knowledgeable, and they're hungry for a winner. We're in this together, and our commitment as a staff is to represent this city with pride. We want to play a brand of baseball that reflects the toughness, competitiveness, and the spirit of the people who support us. We're currently building an elite coaching staff. In my opinion, the best coaches are teachers, mentors, and leaders that are able to get the most out of every single player in this organization. We want to create an environment where every player feels challenged yet supported, and that's what we're building right now. I'm so excited to get to work. The group of players in this clubhouse are special. I've had the chance to get to know a lot of them over the past few weeks, and I've been blown away by their character and their hunger to be great. I can't wait for our fans to see how special this team's going to be, and we're going to do everything we can to make them proud. Thank you.
Thank you, Blake. All right, at this time, we'll take questions from the media. We have Mauricio and Claire on each side of the room with microphones, so please raise your hand. I'll mention the outlet you're from and your name, and we'll get started. Will Jessica first?
Hi, Blake. Just when you left the phone call and what you were thinking.
There was a lot that happened that day. first and foremost, I mean, my wife, she's a trooper. We had our first baby on the same day, had the chance to be named the manager of the Nationals the same day, of course, and it was a whirlwind, and I don't think it was anything that we could have planned or predicted. But it was also such a special day, and my parents were there as well, and we were very fortunate just to have our loved ones around us and be able to celebrate together.
Andrew?
You were a senior director of player development with the Rays. Did you always desire to get back into managing, and how did you know that this was the right fit and the right opportunity for you?
Yeah, it's a good question. I obviously enjoyed my time managing with the Rays, and then when they brought this next opportunity up to me, it was something that was obviously on a broader spectrum with a lot more players, a lot more staff members to oversee. I think it was something that gave me a much better perspective of how to build an organization from the ground up and what goes into creating a winning culture, creating a winning team, creating a winning organization. I think when this next opportunity came about, I always loved being on the field. I loved the competition. I loved being with the guys every day. So this was a no-brainer.
Spencer?
Hey, Blake. Spencer Nussbaum from The Washington Post. Can you walk us through what the interview process looked like if you expected to get a managerial job this season?
Yeah. To the second part of that question, I didn't have a timeline set on when I expected or wanted to be a manager by. To the first part, Eric Neander gave me a call, I think it was a Tuesday morning, and said that Paul asked to interview me or talk to me for the managing position. And it was a few weeks of a process, and I had a chance to talk with Paul. I've had a chance to talk with a lot of people in the ops group. And then it was kind of throughout that process where I realized that this was somewhere that I could see myself and my family based off of the values that they have, and they align with mine. And that was first and foremost, most important to me and my family before the actual position. And with that, I think it was another thing that stood out to me was that instead of coming up here, one thing that was struck home for Caroline and myself was just that Paul did not want me to miss the birth of our first child. So he came to the city where we live in Raleigh, and that was just super special to us, the fact that he was able to put aside the traditional process of interviewing and wanted to make sure we put our family first.
Hey, Blake. Bobby Blanco, MassinSports.com. To piggyback off of the player development in minor leagues for a little bit with the Rays, what did your experience working in player development do to kind of enforce or maybe enhance your thought process as a manager?
Yeah, I think when you look at the whole player development process, right, there's a lot that goes into it, from the acquisition of players to creating plans for players to improve and what their timeline looks like to get to the major leagues. So I think just the whole broad and global outlook of a player's process and a player's journey kind of helped make it a little bit easier transitioning.
Chelsea. Manager Blake Butera from Nats Park. Really good stuff from him. I enjoy listening to him. You'll hear a little bit more from Grant and Danny. They are out there at the park, so they might get an opportunity to speak with him in a one-on-one fashion. It's B. Mitch and Finley with Denton Dale and now Willingham sitting in for B. Mitch and Finley as they travel back from Spain. We've talked a lot of football today. Football Talk on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We wrap up the program before we send you back out to Nationals Park for Grant and Danny at 2 p.m. next on 106.7.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Is B. Mitch and Finley, Denton Dale, Linnell Willingham, sitting in, joined by the host of the Locked On Nationals podcast. You know him as a stallion.
Ryan Hercules, Larry. Some people may call him.
Len Powell, I've
freak.
Heard as well.
Oh, thank you.
Freak
thank
is
you.
What the DOC calls.
Freak. Okay.
Damn. Why are you a freak?
Well.
I do want to point out, before we get into all of Claire's illustrious nicknames, Blake Butera is joining Grant and Danny 3:30 p.m.
Ah, there we go.
So that'll be a fun conversation. You'll be able to hear it on 980 as well. And Monumental, you guys aren't on Monumental.
Nope, not on Monumental. 106.7 The Fan on YouTube, though.
On YouTube, though.
Yeah, the chat's been
So what do you think wild. About a manager that's basically as old as you are?
Yeah.
I like this. I mean, I think that a lot of Nationals fans out there just have kind of taken this message in a weird way, I think. Like, they look at this and like, oh, they're trying to save money. Like, no, this is someone who would have been a manager within the next few years. In my opinion, they could just kind of jump the cycle a little bit. May not have cost as much as like a Bruce Bochy or some big name hotshot out there, but I think for where this team is now, this is the hire that makes sense.
I was going to say, is this team ready for a big hotshot like a Bruce Bochy?
No. And that's, I think that's a lot of people just kind of have to understand. Like, I think with these younger hires, like bringing in Toboni, bringing in Butera, like, this is a sign of the times, man. Like, we got to take our medicine still. You're going to go through it for the next few seasons, but I like these hires. I think this is exactly what the Nationals should be doing, because it's kind of a new pace around here.
I think it fits the timeline of where you are at organizationally as well.
Yeah, and like, that's you know, the point of it. Like, you know, you look at this team and there's Mackenzie Gore trade rumors, there's CJ Abrams trade rumors. Like,
please turn those rumors into realities.
Yeah, I mean,
please.
For some people. For some people. But like, those rumors aren't out there because like, you wouldn't be trading your best players if you're ready to win.
Exactly.
You know? It's like the reason why back a few years ago you trade away Chase Young, Montez Sweat. Like, those are some of your better players, but it's because you're not ready to win.
Right.
So you need to get value in return for those guys. So with those rumors out there, I think that just kind of tells Nationals fans all that you need to know.
Are they actually going to spend money this offseason?
I don't think so.
Oh, Ryan. I mean, jeez.
I know. I don't know if they're ready to even. Like, if you bring in an Alex Bregman, does that make this a winning team? I don't think so.
No.
Pitching.
I think
pitching.
That's the well,
you got to get pitching.
That's the reality of the situation.
And if you spend on pitching, then, like, I guess, but then also you have subpar bats. Is that going to fix that issue? you got to spend everywhere, but also you got to start developing talent. I think these steps right now get you in that situation.
All right, we got 30 seconds left. Is there any Is there any pitcher that's available that you want?
Michael King, but he's going to cost a good amount of money. But like, so I don't.
Our pockets ain't lined that way. I'm excited to see some more Daylen Lyle, baby. First team all aura. Ooh.
I love baseball Linnell. He's in it.
Lynette Willingham is what they call me, baby. There we go.
He is in there. He is loaded. You'll hear Ryan coming up next on Grant and Danny. Butera will join them at 3:30 live from Nationals Park. Lynnell, it's always fun. It felt like the show flew by. Big thanks to Smooth for jumping on. A bunch of great callers as well. Washington's lost six in a row. We all kind of saw it coming.
Yeah.
The fellas are back tomorrow. If you still made it, if you're still listening, JP owes you a beer.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.